Welcome to the Peru Tech Bytes podcast with Nick Damiani and John Mitchell. Our podcasts are designed to help teachers navigate the murky waters of appropriate technology use in their classrooms. Let's get started.
Hello, and welcome to the Peru Tech Bytes podcast. I am John Mitchell and joined by my co-host, Mr. Nick Damiani. How's it going, sir?
Doing well, John. It's great to get back to focusing on the Tech Byte podcast. Been a while since we've really rolled out any new content.
So, absolutely.
I think we've got a nice focus here moving forward as we look to start diving into this world of artificial intelligence and its impact and role in education moving forward. It's a hot topic across the industry.
Doesn't get much hotter than that
right now. It does not. So there's a lot of excitement around it. There's a lot of fear around it. There's a lot of question marks around it, I guess, from all different perspectives. So I think it's going to lend its hand to some good relevant conversation for us as we look to pick it apart and really build understanding, essentially. We most recently had the opportunity to attend NARIC's Tech Awareness Day, Tech A Day. It's their yearly conference that they put on down in Albany. And the focus for this year's conference was AI in education. And I brought a team down there that I think was able to really pull some good information from our time there. We were able to set aside and interview Virginia Bond and Laura Parks, who are, you know, two folks that we've worked close with in the past in a variety of areas in education, educational technology specifically. So we do have that interview, so we're going to be able to share that as part of the show. So we'll share the interview, and then we'll kind of recap it after with a few talking points of our own and let everyone know what's coming up for staff to really be able to engage in some of that conversation.
Absolutely. Let's get to it.
All right, so we are here at the 2023 NARIC Tech Awareness Day down in Albany, and we are joined by Laura Parks and Virginia Bond. Hello. How are you both doing today?
Good. Hi, Mark. Hi, Nick. How are you?
So overall, this conference has been going on for quite a while, a lot of years. I forgot how many years, but it's definitely over is it right around 30 years?
Yep. 34.
34. Okay, so I did have that somewhat straight. So in your opinion, what is one of the benefits of NARIC hosting a conference like this?
I think one of the benefits is we get a chance to bring all of our local districts, so across our seven BOCES together, along with other BOCES that are coming in. Free conference in Albany in the month of December, great on a Friday, great time for people to come down when the weather's wonderful, especially today. It's a beautiful blue skies, 50 degrees. Districts maybe that can't afford to send somebody to Nice Gate, this is a nice way. It's a little mini Nice Gate for them to come and experience here.
Yeah, and it's always a good time when you can get folks from other districts in one spot for conversation, networking purposes, and then to really talk about what's new in the area of technology and education, right?
Yes, and we've had a great set of vendors upstairs, lots of vendors, some that are new, some that are what we would consider seasoned vendors that are really able to kind of reach out so school districts can touch base with those people pretty quickly.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
So it seems that the hot topic of conversation at this year's conference is artificial intelligence and its impacts on education. What do you see as one of the benefits of our group of, you know, technology folks in education, integrationists and coordinators, exploring the, what are some of the benefits that you see from artificial intelligence in education? Like some pros, perhaps.
I think it's the opportunities that it's providing to students to experience more modalities to get information. I think for teachers, it's giving us the opportunity to change the way we offer projects to students, are looking to get feedback from students. We're not doing traditional informational projects, but kind of going up higher on the Bloom's taxonomy, going up and asking some more complex questions of students.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the concerns that I've had in the past is really what tools do you pick
for students to use, right? Like if there's, you know, all these different generative AI bots out there, like which tools do you actually want to select that allow students a safe environment to work in? And I have discovered a few while I've been here. So I know there's some conversation around Google Bard as one of those options that might fall under a data privacy agreement, which would be fantastic if it does. And then there was another vendor that I actually talked to from, pulling out the name here, not that one. Oh, it's in my bag. But apparently another one that's...
Skillstruck.
There it is. Nice job.
So they just got on the ITCC contract with their AI component. Yeah, I think that's going to be a great tool for AI and for districts to purchase as we're walking down through the CSDF standards, because it's a way for any teacher who doesn't know how to code, how to teach coding to their students. So, you know, a third grade teacher who wants to do coding will have that ability to have these videos that'll walk a student through a process of coding. Yeah. And it's going to be good K-12. That's a nice tool to have combined with the AI.
Yeah, I think as school districts, we are responsible for preparing students for that future. And I know there's a lot of uncertainty about the world of AI and how, you know, how students are going to interact. But I don't think it's one of those topics that we can really stick our head in the sand and act like isn't there. It's something that we have to work with kids on and explore and really try to teach good habits, good ethical habits around the topic. So I was happy to see it put to the forefront.
Yeah, I think we're at a crossroads in education, because AI and the like emergence of this tool is going to be a shift in how we teach pedagogically. We are not going to need to just chew and spew content anymore. We're going to have to teach our students to be deeper thinkers, to be creative. They're going to have to learn how to be prompt generators and be able to ask those deeper questions. Teachers are going to have to learn that too. Yeah. And I think it's really going to be a shift.
That's the shift, right? And I think gets everybody out of their comfort zone a little bit, which makes
it's okay to be uncomfortable.
But it is okay. It is okay. You are correct. All right. Well, thank you both for taking the time before lunch to have a conversation. We hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So we'd like to thank Virginia and Laura for taking the time out of their day. I know everybody was getting ready to go to lunch.
That's true.
So we managed to squeeze it in, and just appreciate them taking the moment to sit down and engage in some conversation.
No, that was definitely very insightful.
Yeah. So what we would like to do now is just kind of hit a little bit on the following topic. So kind of add a definition to artificial intelligence, you know, where it's kind of fit into education up to this point. And then we can have some conversation about some of the benefits of AI. You know, what are some of the perceived benefits? So I'd, you know, pick your brain on that a little bit, John. We'll talk about some of the concerns and the fears and some of that conversation. And then we'll close it up with, you know, what we're going to be doing within the district to approach this hot topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good. So we can start off by saying that, you know, artificial intelligence involves the development of computer systems that can perform tasks typically that require human intelligence. Things like problem solving, language understanding and learning. But in education, AI is applied to create intelligent systems that adapt to individual learning needs.
Yeah, and here in Peru, we utilize, and I'm thinking of, you know, what's a prime example of something that's used right now by our teachers and students? And we have, you know, a growth monitoring system through NWEA that has an adaptive assessment that does kind of fluctuate as a student answers a question, the content gets harder. If they answer it correctly, the content gets harder. And if they answer it incorrectly, content gets a little bit, you know, easier. And then it just kind of fluctuates. So try to really zero in on that specific student to identify, you know, what are their strengths, what are the areas and, you know, the gaps that need to be addressed, you know, through instruction.
It's really an excellent example because it shows that, you know, these kind of tools have been used, you know, for years. They're just becoming more public-facing.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's artificial intelligence,
right?
Like a piece. You know, there's a variety of other tools in everyday life that we interact that have AI. You shop on Amazon, and you know, you're getting suggestions, right, constantly. Yeah. You know, that's a form of AI. You message, you know, you go to a message center and you open up the chat. Yeah. You're speaking to a chat bot, yeah, which is going to interact with you, as frustrating as it is sometimes. But that's what you're getting as your first level. So, you know, there's definitely these components of AI that we've experienced just in everyday life. But they are becoming more prominent in education, especially mm-hmm. with this concept around these large language models and generative AI, like ChatGPT, for right. example, which was the big ticket item that rolled out. Actually, I think it was probably around last November or so.
Something like that.
So yeah. we're just over a year old. And that type of tool is more of a prompt generated tool where right. you can pose a question or ask it to do something, like some type of input, and it's going to provide you with an output. It's going to try to answer your question to the best of its ability. Mm-hmm. And you can fine tune that response by generating stronger, better, and more targeted questions. And you can change what comes out of that tool, so to speak. And that's really what's on the cusp of education right now, is that generative AI and how that's trickling into the classroom. and really what districts are doing to support teachers' use of it or not use of it. But we all have to really admit that students are using these tools. You know,
absolutely.
And it's going to be really on schools to educate kids on the proper use and the recommendations and those types of things. In order to do that, as adults, we have to have an understanding of how things work. So it's not going to be one of those things where we can put our head in the sand and right. act like it doesn't exist, because it's going to go on without us. And our students will learn all of the inappropriate ways to use it, whether it's plagiarism, you know, cheating on an assignment, right. those types of things. So it's going to be on us to really help guide them through that process. But in order to do that, like I said, we're going to have to learn more about it. So there are some definite benefits mm-hmm. That I think we could all probably agree on in education. You know, from my own perspective, if I look at some of the tasks that I have to complete that are time-consuming, they're, I don't want to say completely mundane, but they're not the most exciting part of my job.
Right.
And that can go from, you know, outlining a presentation to, you know, crafting an email and just trying to make sure that the language I'm choosing is appropriate for the subject area and the content and the audience, you know, and those types of things. And there's really, you know, an opportunity where this can speed up the amount of time that I would take to create something, because I'd have the ability to interact with something as more of a thought exchange. So if I'm looking to craft a message to go out to the community, or to staff, and I want to make sure that my message is on target with my focus, I can create that message.
Right.
I can, in the past, I would have maybe asked a colleague to read it and make sure that everything makes sense and that it's clear. But now I could take that passage, which is, you know, has general information, nothing specific or private, enter it into the chat, ChatGPT, for example, and I can get some suggestions on edits back. And then I can choose to take those edits or not based right. on how I'm choosing to craft that message. And so when I look at it, yeah, it can definitely streamline some tasks, but it is more of a thought exchange for me. And I think that's where I've been able to use it most, I think, and I found it to be most beneficial currently at this moment.
I know that... from the conference that we went to, a lot of other teachers were saying that they found it very helpful with things like rubric generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it actually, you could type in the parameters of your assignment and ask it to generate a rubric, and it'll create a rubric for that assignment. It would create the entire assignment for you if you asked. You just put in the topic and what your expectation is, and it'll create it. And now, with that being said, like, it's going to really speed up the initial brainstorming.
Right.
It's on us as the educators and the intelligent beings, right, to look at it, to read it, review it, analyze it, and tweak it to our needs and our expectations. So it is not, you know, something where you're going to put in a topic on the Civil War,
right?
And you're going to magically get this beautiful unit plan, right, with all of the quizzes associated and all the homework assignments that are really going to be, you know, strong assignments with great question prompts for kids. Like, you're not going to get that initially. Now, you can get that, right, through a series of prompting and questioning as you fine-tune what your focus is. But when you're talking about that initial kind of thought generation,
yeah,
and interaction, like, yeah, it's a strong tool for that. I've seen another benefit, you know, even just within our own district, we've had the increase in our ELL population.
Oh, true.
Most recently, right?
Yes, absolutely.
These models are fantastic at translating. So I can take a passage that I would have been using it for a couple of years. It's a great passage on the Iroquois or something along those lines. And I have to be able to get that translated and the questions to that assignment translated quickly, efficiently, whatever. I can take that assignment, I can put it in the ChatGPT or one of those, you know, parallel tools, and it will translate it for me,
right,
in seconds.
Yeah.
So that's another very common use, and it just improves the accessibility, you know, of activities for the kids. So those are some specific uses that I've seen right now just within our district. I did have a teacher, one of our retired teachers, last year. Fortunately, she did retire, but she created a video on how she was able to utilize ChatGPT. It was in its initial phase, right? How it created she had a topic that she wanted her seniors to write about. So it created the assignment and it created the rubric. Then you could take that student essay, which again doesn't have any personal information in it, put it into the chatbot, and it would go through and analyze it based on the rubric that was created. And then it was on the teacher to look at the comments, to look at what the chatbot picked up on it, to see how insightful it really was. And she definitely admitted that there was some insight that she thought was really kind of powerful and good insight. But then there was also some insight that she's like, that's not really how I would have shared that with students. And then, you know, so it still comes down to the operator,
right,
you know, to really analyze the output for any of these. So it definitely has a lot of opportunities,
right,
and what could be benefits in education, but all powered by, you know, the human being, us, yes, the teacher, exactly, the educator, the specialist in the room. Well, right?
It's a tool, but exactly that. Right?
And that's one of the concerns.
Yes.
So, you know, we hit a little bit on some benefits, but there are some concerns, definitely. And one of those is, like, does it replace a teacher?
Right.
You know, because some of these models could be considered, you know, your own personal tutor. You don't know something about a topic, you ask it, and it's going to give you information on it, right?
True.
So there is some concern, you know, just from a teacher perspective where, you know, is it going to replace my role in the classroom? And my answer to that is always no. Nothing can replace the teacher's role in the classroom. You know, these AI tools aren't developing relationships with kids, and we know that those relationships are the foundation to student success. Like, it's a key piece. You know, these tools aren't doing that. Like, nothing's replacing the expertise of our classroom teachers, without a doubt. But I understand that concern.
Well, especially, you know, with the speed at which, because even with ChatGPT, I mean, it's already been through, you know, so many, you know, iterations or whatever just since it came out, you know. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people have, you know, what are the ethical implications, you know what I mean? What are the biases? One of the concerns are that obviously there's people creating the content that this is generating, so it's possible for there to be, you know, biased outputs, which is, you know, the need for monitoring and oversight. So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just to give some clarification on that, these algorithms that are created to generate the content.
Right.
You know, it's not just running a Google search.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, there gets to be some confusion about that too, where it's just, right, pulling stuff from the internet. That's not really the case. Like, it gets its content from somewhere, but it's not pulling from the internet.
Right.
You know, a lot of these models operate completely independent from the internet. And that's where, you know, it starts really blowing my mind of understanding, right, is how does this information, this content get inputted?
Right.
but it has to get inputted from something and someone. And then that's where, yeah, you run into these potential biases, which are some concerns. And the fairness and equity of information that gets put in and how those systems deploy that information, like those are concerns.
Right.
The ethical considerations, well, who owns the content? Yeah. You know, if I'm a student and I'm asking it to generate a five-paragraph essay for me on anything, you know, who owns that content?
Yeah.
You know, ChatGPT isn't a human being.
Right.
You know, so who owns it? Obviously, I just put in a question.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I didn't create it. Those aren't my thoughts. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
But there has to be a common ground with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there are some ethical considerations. Mm-hmm. There are potential biases, those types of things. And that's going to always depend on the user, right?
I know that. And then not to really deviate, but one thing I've been experimenting with just recently is using the AI more in like illustrations and whatnot. And I know that even there's a neat tool out called Adobe Firefly, but even as it generates, because just like, you know, you can actually use text, you know, a text prompt to generate like an illustration, but one thing that's neat with it is that even as you generate something and you save it to use for other things, they actually they have data that they embed inside the image that you don't see that gives full disclosure that it is artificially generated image and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's good that there are some measures of transparency being built into different things as well.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, it was interesting when I was I attended a session at Plattsburgh State last year about this. Katie Alton at Plattsburgh State shared some information on it. And then following that, like, there was a lot of conversation just about, you know, how do you cite the use of it?
Right.
You know, and I believe MLA, APA, like, I think they've come out with ways to actually professionally cite that AI was used in the generation or the creation of whatever it is.
Right.
And going back to the citing of the sources, like, don't take ownership if it's not yours, but cite it appropriately if it's not.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's a big component of appropriate use as well. One of the other concerns that I just wanted to kind of get into a little bit, you know, in my role as a data privacy officer, like, we have to analyze the different tools that we use in the classroom to make sure that they're compliant with Ed Law 2D and make sure that, you know, our student information is going where it should be and doesn't fall into the hands of, you know, someone that it shouldn't be in. And so that being said, there are a lot of privacy concerns around these AI models because they collect whatever data goes in.
True.
And we can't stop that from happening. So we have to be very specific with what tools we use. We have to make sure that we use Ed Law 2D compliant tools, which we have some on the horizon. Mm-hmm. We've done some investigation. We have found some of those, which is fantastic for us. As we look to try to focus where we're going to put our attention in this AI world. But our general recommendation is, you know, do not put any personal information into the chatbot. Like, if you're having it generate a letter to someone, you know, just make it generate an anonymous letter. Like, don't put in people's names, don't put in addresses, you know, don't put in student information, like, any of that stuff. Like, you can create this you can use it and maximize the system without putting anything in there personally identifiable. So always err on the side of that.
Right.
Do not put anything personal or anything private into these chatbots, because that information goes into the digital world and you know, you have no idea where it does end up.
Right.
So keep it anonymous is going to be the best route to go. So that being said, I think, you know, we definitely hit on a few of the benefits and a few of the concerns. I think it's going to be important for us as a district to engage in some good conversation about, you know, really what is our expectation of use? Like, how do we feel as a district that it fits our Peru way?
Right.
And I think that's going to be important to come out of some conversation with staff. So we're going to be kind of embarking on an awareness campaign, so to speak. I guess it could be a campaign.
That's a good way to put it.
Sounds about right. where we're going to have some meetings with staff across campus and just engage in conversation. Like, not real formal stuff. Like, we just want to see what people know.
Right.
You know, what have they heard? What are their thoughts? You know, and then we'll fine tune it as we move forward. There are some tools that we're going to focus specifically on as a district. But, you know, that's down the road. I think we got to just have some conversations about the tools and about AI in general, and how it's going to really transform or have the ability to transform how we provide instruction in the classroom. So that being said, stay tuned, look for some information, and we look forward to future conversation.
You've been listening to the Peru Tech Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Google Podcast, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. If you enjoy the show, be sure to share with colleagues and friends, and follow us on Twitter at ndemianipcsd and jmitchellpcsd. Thanks again for listening, and remember, tech doesn't bite.